Welcome to First Baptist Church of Tarrytown, sharing God's love and hope around the world. Our prayer is that your life is transformed as you hear the Word of God preached today.
Ah, salutations. I was told that the aristocracy of Babylon would be here today to hear me talk and share what I have experienced in the last few months. But looking across this crowd, I can see that you are the best of the best that the Eastern lands have to offer. Many of you know me. I am the Magus Belshazzar, and I have come to tell you about what I have seen. For almost 50 years, I have become a scholar and an expert in so many areas: wisdom, philosophy, demonology, angelology, and my particular specialty of astrology. Astrology is the thing that interests me the most. Every night, I would spend out in the cold, while the rest of you would be asleep, watching the stars and their endless dance across the sky, so many of them in a predictable pattern, but so many of them not, trying to discern the understanding of the words of what was happening in those celestial bodies night after night. One night, I was out watching Jupiter. Jupiter is the king planet. His dance across the sky is never the same. You can't predict it. And as I'm watching Jupiter make his dance across the sky, I see him pass by Regulus, the king star. And it passed by, and then Jupiter stopped mid-flight, turned back around, and converged with Regulus. The king planet converged with the king star. I had never seen anything before. I talked to the other magi. They had never seen anything before either. And so we began to watch Jupiter as he made his march across the sky. And on another night, once again, he went past Regulus, stopped midair, turned around, and converged again. What did this mean? It was incredible. And then, one more time, for a third time, Jupiter stopped in the air, turned back around, and converged with Regulus. Three times. There was no history. There was no information in hundreds of years of study of this kind of convergence. We all knew it meant something, but we didn't know what. So we began searching scriptures, and we began searching in prophecies, and we began looking through everything we could find. What did this convergence in the sky mean? Over and over we saw it. Over and over we looked. And then one of our magi, his name was Caspar. Caspar found the answer in the Jewish scriptures. Their prophet Daniel had been held captive here in Babylon many hundreds of years ago, and he introduced our wise men to their scriptures. And in those scriptures, Caspar found that one day there would be a child who would be born the king of the Jews. And not only would he be the king of the Jews, he would be the Messiah of the whole world. Wow. Melchior, one of our other members of the order, determined that what we had seen in the sky had declared the conception of the Messiah. And so night after night we watched, and you guessed it, 9 months after we first saw those convergences, we were watching Jupiter cross the sky, and then Jupiter converged with Venus. The king planet converged with the queen planet. Caspar cried out, "The king is born!" That very night, even though it was late, we went to our leaders, we went to the rulers, and we said, "We must find this newborn king. Not only is he the king of the Jews, he is indeed the king of the whole world." We begged, and it took a time, almost a year. But after that, we left with supplies. There was about 40 of us on this journey. As we followed this star, every night we saw Jupiter and Venus converge. No one had ever seen such a convergence, living or dead, ever. It was so bright in the sky. When the moon waned, it filled the night with light. And so after a year of preparation, we set off with 40 men to follow this star so that we could go and honor this king. There's about 40 of us, 12 of us magi, the rest were soldiers, and we carried this large treasure chest. And it had enough gold and supplies for our trip out and our trip back. Also within there, we had small gifts that we could give to honor this Messiah that was born. How else do you honor the Messiah of the whole world? So we set out. As we went, we followed the star, and it was always westward, westward leading, always west. We pushed on donkeys and camels and feet. We walked, we hiked, we went for months and months and months, and finally we came near Judea. And of course, the one born king of the Jews would be born in Jerusalem. Of course, it would be Jerusalem. That star was pushing us forward to the homeland of the Jews and their capital. Of course, this king would be born in Jerusalem. He most certainly was born of nobility and princes. His family must have been wealthy. They must have been leaders among leaders. And here in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, of Judea, this is certainly where he would be born. So as day broke, me and my men, the magi, the soldiers, we marched into Jerusalem, that beautiful big city, and we began asking people, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And the first man we asked said, Israel has no king, shuffled off. Then Melchior went up to one of the Roman centurions, and he said, where's the one who's been born the king of the Jews? And the centurion said, the only king of Israel is Caesar. Finally, Caspar found a woman, and she was dressed like one of the members of the aristocracy, not unlike yourselves. And she was regal, and she carried herself, and you could see she was a woman of means and wealth. And Caspar said, we saw his sign up in the sky. Certainly you must have seen it. Where is the king of Israel? And then this woman, statuesque, all of a sudden became very scared. She began looking around, very nervous, very scared. She said, Herod is the only king of Israel. Israel will have no other king. And then she left. How odd. How infuriating! The very heavens declared the birth of this king, and no one knew what we were talking about. As night settled in, we didn't know what to do. We asked everyone. We asked rich and poor. We asked Jew. We asked Greek. And no one had a clue what we were talking about. Finally, as night set in, guards approached us, and these guards looked Jewish, and they said, King Herod wants to see you magi, just the magi, not your soldiers. And then Caspar, forgetting his training in diplomacy, said, well, that's not going to happen. Please, I said, why does the good King Herod and the wise King Herod want to see us lowly magi? And the guard said, Herod has information about this Messiah you've been asking about that you magi, you Easterners, don't have. You guys can come, leave your soldiers. And then Caspar said, why can't we bring the soldiers if everything's fine? And then one of my soldiers, I don't know who, said, "Because Herod is forever afraid of the Eastern armies coming to invade his land." Peace be still. Can you promise our safety? Of course. Then we 12 magi will come and see King Herod. So in the middle of the night, as lights were being lit, we walked through Jerusalem and we came to Herod's palace. It was beautiful, white marble, thick white marble, solidified, at once beauty and strength, a palace and a fortress at the same time. What a marriage. They brought us to the throne room, and there on the throne sat the oldest man I have ever seen. He looked at us, scowled. Then he got up, paced around, and he looked at us and said, "When was it that sign in the sky you've been asking about appeared?" And I said, 27 months ago, we observed the celestial convergence, which we believed announced the conception of the Messiah. And then, about 18 months ago, we saw the convergence of Jupiter and Venus that has announced the birth of this Messiah, and we have followed that convergence every single night to this place. And then Herod changed. "Ah, my friends, you Easterners are not privy to the information us Jews have, for you see, we have prophecies that have told this child will not be born in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem." He totally changed. "It's a small town just to the south of here, 5 miles. The hair on the back of my neck stood up. "Go seek him out. Find this Messiah. And when you do, report back to me so that I may honor him as well." Us wise men bowed, and we left the palace as quickly as decorum would allow us to. We gathered our soldiers, and that very night we left Jerusalem and headed south towards Bethlehem. And as we went, Caspar cried out, "The convergence again!" And we saw the star. We followed it quickly on camels and donkey and feet. We went and we moved. And then we were so excited. How do we honor this king once we found him? We were so excited. We followed the star all the way to Bethlehem. And then when we got to Bethlehem, it really smelled bad. It smelled so bad. Oh. It wasn't really a town. It was more of a stopping point. It wasn't anything. It was just a little hovel filled with sheep pens and hovels of home. But it didn't matter. We were excited. We followed the star all through that small little town until it rested upon one tiny little house of no account. And we looked at that house and thought, surely this is not the one who has been born the king of the Jews. What must have happened is the royal family had got detained. They were leaving Jerusalem on important business or heading to Jerusalem on important business. Someone got sick, someone got injured, and they had to stop here. Of course, that's what it was. But as we stood for just a moment to watch the star, only this house was illuminated. Nothing else. As I stood there in awe, I said both to myself and to those around me, "How do you honor the Messiah of the whole world?" And Caspar said, "We knock." So we did. We knocked. And after a moment, The door opened up just a little bit, and there was this peasant on the other side. He had the flecks of something in his beard, and he said, "Can I help you?" And I said to him, "Sir, we magi have come from the east, for we have seen the star of the Messiah in the sky, and it has led us to this point. We are looking for the Savior of the whole world. We are looking for the Messiah, the King of the Jews. Is he here?" And the peasant man looked out, nervous, scared, considering. And then he said, "Yes, he is here." He opened the door. The other magi went in. I took one step in, and it smelt worse in there than it did out here. I stepped back, and I looked at the star. And here it was on this little house. Nowhere else. So I went in. The other magi were murmuring and talking low. I pushed past them, and there before me, sitting on the floor, was a young Jewish woman, no more than a girl, really, and she looked exhausted and embarrassed and maybe a little scared. And between her legs was a little toddler balancing himself between her knees, looking at all of us magi. And I said, "Is this him? Is this the one who was born the King of the whole world?" And then the child pushed past his mother and walked over to me, reaching out his hand, and then bopped me right in the nose. Ow! The peasant father picked the child up quickly, and he said, "He is. His name is Jesus. It means, his name means Yahweh saves, because he will save his people from their sin." How do you honor the Savior of the whole world? No. Not honor. That isn't strong enough of a word. Here before me was a child who is going to be no mere leader of men, no mere leader of countries. He would put an end to sin? Honor is not strong enough a word. How do you worship the Savior of the whole world? We had brought gifts, but I called for the entire treasure chest to be brought in. We gave him all of the gold, even the gold for the journey back, all of the frankincense, all of the perfumed myrrh, and it wasn't enough. It could never be enough. It could never be enough. Not for this king, not for this Messiah, not for this Savior of the world. It could never be enough for this Jesus. The child pushed past his father and toddled back to his mother and went up into her arms, and he just sat on her for the longest time looking at us. And then fell asleep. The peasant family insisted that us magi stay with them the night. The soldiers pitched tents outside town, and many of us slept in their guest room above. But I slept out in the courtyard under the star. as it continued to illuminate their house. And when sleep finally came to me, I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw the gifts that we had brought this Messiah. I saw the gold. And then I heard a voice from the heavens cry out, "Gold for the King of Kings, frankincense for his divinity, and myrrh for the sacrifice he will one day make to save his people." And then in the dream, I saw Jerusalem. I saw Herod's palace. I saw the old, aged king in his throne room. And he spoke to his people. And he said, "Where is the Messiah that these magi are asking about, said to be born in the scriptures?" And his men said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, my lord." And then I saw blood form on Herod's hands and trickle down onto the floor. And Herod said to them, "Get out. Get out. I am the King of the Jews. Me, no one else. Not Rome, not my sons, and certainly not some miserable fetus born in that flea pit of Bethlehem. I am the King of the Jews. Bring the Magi to me." And then it faded. And I could see blood spilling from the hands of Herod, filling the entire palace. And then I heard a voice from heaven cry out, "Go. Leave this place. Leave at once. Leave now." And as I could feel the dream leaving me and the sleep leaving me, I cried out to the heaven, "But what about the child?" And as I awoke, I heard this voice in my heart that said, "I will take care of my son until it is his time." When I awoke, it was still dark. I gathered up all of the magi. We warned the family. And we left. With all of our soldiers, we took everything and left. We went the long way around the Dead Sea to avoid Jerusalem. And even though we didn't have supplies, if we didn't have any containers, we'd given everything to the Messiah. Providence brought us back here to Babylon. That child changed everything. That child has changed everything. In light of Jesus, all of my education, all of my learning, all of my knowledge, even my high and exalted position and title of Magus, means nothing in comparison to him. Seek him out. Find him. Worship him. How should you worship the Messiah of the whole world? How should you worship the Messiah? Give him everything. Give him everything. Give him your wealth. Give him your worship. Give him your life. Give him your heart.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about the church or make an online donation, please visit us at fbctarrytown.org.